This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome to the Chelsea Fancast. It's Friday evening. It's 7 o'clock, which can mean, as you all know, only one thing and one thing alone. It's time for the Chelsea Fancast preview show. It is indeed. I'm excited. It helps when we've just beaten the loathsome Scousers the night before. I can't tell you how much it helps. And there you go. So anyway, I'm Stanford Chidge, as you should all know by now. And I am joined, of course, as ever, by the wonderful Mr. Jonathan Kidd.
Oh, lovely to be here after such a great display.
Lovely. Absolutely lovely. Even better tonight. Even better. It's a long time since we've seen his lovely face. And it's just a joy and delight to welcome back the return of Mr. Marco Worrell.
Buonasera, amici.
Lovely to see you, my friend. How are you?
I am like Lazarus.
You are. Bless your little heart.
Slowly but surely.
Good stuff. Really, really lovely to see you, mate. It's made my week knowing that you're going to be on the show with us again. Now, last but by no means least, to ensure that there is some sense talked on this here show, we always have one of our journalist mates. And tonight we have the return of the lovely Adam Newson from Football.London.
Thank you for having me back, guys.
Absolute pleasure, Adam. Always good to see you. Now, of course, unusually, because these are weird times, as we all know, but you are the only one amongst us who can claim to have been there to witness the glory of inflicting the fifth home league defeat on the Red Scousers. I mean, obviously, it was a bit weird because there was nobody there, really, but you and a few journos. But how was it?
It was really good. I thought Chelsea played really, really well, controlled the game. And it only got a little bit hairy late in sort of second half. I don't know if it came across on the TV, but right at the end of the game, when it moved into stoppage time, Thomas Tuchel's assistants were whistling for the full-time whistle.
Really?
Yes, which I thought was brilliant. I'd never really heard a coaching staff do that before. But so they were calling for the full-time whistle, which I thought was great.
Weirdly enough, though, Adam, they used to do that a lot at Chelsea in the 80s, funnily enough. But the crowd would do it a lot. The crowd would do it most of the time. It was a constant whistle. That's fabulous piece of information.
Very true. Do you know what? It's kind of weird. I mean, obviously, none of us could have known that, and it certainly didn't really come across on the TV. But actually, you know, Klopp had the look of a defeated, dare I say, broken man. I think if this was a boxing match, he'd have hit the white towel, would have been flung Germanically into the centre circle long before the final whistle. And I think it was, you're right. I mean, maybe you're dead right, and that he felt that they weren't going to win the game, and he didn't want to have any more damage inflicting on their fragile egos. Oh, how my heart bleeds. Here's the thing, chaps, to kind of like get into this more analytically, as it were. Marco, Tommy Tuchel has done very, very well. I say that with an air of surprise in my voice, and I'm not sure why I'm surprised, because he is a very good manager. He's now matched Mourinho's 10 matches without being beaten, and I think conceded as few goals as Mourinho, although I could be wrong on that. Interestingly enough, he's beaten Mourinho, Diego Simeone, and now Jurgen Klopp, all self-proclaimed great managers of our day, and all away. It's time to take Tommy T seriously, methinks.
I totally agree. I do think, and I've said this to a few people, that what I like about him is he strikes me as a lucky manager. And by that, you know, it's kind of like the runes have fallen quite nicely for him. He's a keen student of the game. He articulates football very, very well. He knows the players. So all of those things together, and then harnessing Antonio Conte's system from 4 years ago that you'd think teams would have figured out from 4 years past. But it's fantastic to behold. And I think, you know, the teams, you know, Liverpool, great time to play them. Atletico Madrid, great time to play them with injuries. So, you know, he's been a little bit on the lucky side in terms of not running into sides that are in a rich vein of form or you know, fully staffed. But, you know, giving credit where it's due, you know, tactically last night, I thought he set up brilliantly, played to Liverpool's weaknesses, you know, and came away with a 1-0 win. So you take that every week, and we are doing it at the moment.
Yeah, he's doing well, JK.
He seems to be making players that we've given up on look completely classy, doesn't he? I mean, Christensen played out of his skin.
Well, let's talk about Christensen, because you're absolutely right. I mean, you and I, you know, and I have to say, particularly me, and you know me, I don't dig the players out too often, but I've been saying for yonks that he's just not good enough for Chelsea. But I think two things. One, put him in the right position, which is as the central centre-back in a three. But also, as Marco's alluding to, and you, I think, are about to, that's what good managers do. They get the best out of the players, don't they?
Completely. But I think that's what every chairman always wants, isn't it? That you get hold of a group of players that aren't wonderful and turn them into title winners, and then the coffers are full. Particularly like Clough, for example, did
it. The coffers are full.
The coffers are full. Yeah. Coffers are full.
I was going to say, you have no idea what a genius you are, because you've just segued into a brilliant question for Adam. I was having me dinner, as you do, and I was scooting through the Football London app, and they've written an article on there about Tuchel's basically stuffed himself because they're playing so well that Roman won't give him any money in the summer after all. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, other than I think, well, we talked about the opposite, though, which we said that if he presents them, if you look at the team and think actually they're playing wonderfully, he might then say, I need a striker, because this is an area where we do need. I mean, I was talking to Adam earlier about this. In fact, we had a chat and about if Vardy was playing for us, if he wants to play that way, Vardy would score goal after goal after goal just by I have to say, booting the ball up the pitch. It was a terrible moment last night when I actually thought I was watching the under-11s, because both sides just booted the ball up the pitch and ran after it. But then he realised that's what Werner does anyway most of the time. Oh, sorry about that. That was a bit horrid, but that's just my view of it.
Jack Russell running after an egg.
Yeah. It's a small kid running after a balloon. But it's Wright Phillips all over again.
Hush with your writer, Phillips. Listen, Adam, you know, JK, because as we all know, he's a living legend and also a living genius, as we know. But you lot did write, and I thought it was a really interesting take on that, actually. And do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of, and actually there are similarities to be made all over the place. Marco alluded to it a minute ago, but he's changed to Conte's system. Suddenly we're not looking like we can get beaten. Hasn't quite got the great flowing football that Conte had. Conte did brilliantly, won the title, said, right, this is who I want. And they said, F off. And we all know what happened afterwards. So is that what you're kind of intimating in your cheeky little Football London article?
I think that was from my colleague Sam.
It wasn't you. That was very true. I should be very fair about this and say it wasn't you who wrote it. That's very true.
I mean, I wouldn't be entirely unsurprised if Thomas Tuchel gets Chelsea into a really good position this season, gets them in quite far in the Champions League, and then does well in the FA Cup. I mean, it does give that argument sort of credence that maybe Chelsea don't need to spend a huge amount of money in the summer. But as you mentioned there, I think we won the title. Chelsea won the title. I should try and be objective.
No, we won it. We won it, Sam. It was us four that won it, mate. Get it right.
Chelsea obviously won the title under Conte, and that probably sort of papered over quite a few cracks in the squad and didn't maybe do Chelsea the sort of have a longer term benefit. So I do think Chelsea need to invest this summer still, no matter what happens the rest of the season. There are some big decisions to be made over certain players. Christensen being one of them, because his contract expires at the end of next season. So if he isn't going to sign a new one, then Chelsea probably have to sell him this summer rather than risk losing him for free, even though he has been absolutely brilliant, I have to say, since he stepped in for Thiago Silva. No opposition player has actually scored against Chelsea with Christensen in defence since he came in.
Does that mean, Adam, that Silva doesn't get back in?
I don't know. And this is the really big question, because obviously when Thiago Silva hobbles off against Tottenham, I think all of us probably are going, oh, that's not good. But credit to Andreas Christensen.
Words to that effect, Adam.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, so as I say, no opposition player scored against Chelsea with Christensen in the defence since that Tottenham game. The only goal Chelsea have conceded was the Rudiger own goal, and he wasn't in the defence against Southampton. So, I mean, he couldn't really have done much more to put himself in a good position, even though Thiago Silva was coming back. I mean, I think it would be really harsh to now take Christensen out of the team.
Very harsh.
It would be.
Just one more point to just say. In the Tuchel actually does have a history of making players better with previous clubs. He's moved players into different positions and made it work. So this may be something that the club are very aware of. So indeed, Adam, we might end up with nobody being bought and the club just saying, get on with it. We paid all this money for all these players. You make it work.
We've all seen that movie, JK. We've all seen that movie, mate. I don't want to see it again. Mr. Marco, just moving the natter on a tad to talk about JK's all-time favourite player, Tim O'Werner, not to be confused with his German counterpart, the one that's actually good. I thought it was really interesting. I mean, in a way, it's kind of played into Tuchel's hands last night, because we knew, even I knew, and I'm about as tactically aware as an idiot, but even I knew that Liverpool would play, with a very high block, and that they would obviously look to attack us and leave acres of space behind them for the likes of Timo Werner to do what he likes to do best, which is to run into that space and get a one-on-one with a keeper. And of course, their back four's been massively hampered by injuries, so that Kabak player doesn't look much of a player to me, and Fabinho's a midfielder. So it was not surprising to see Chelsea do what we've been crying out for weeks, in a sense, which is to try something else other than play 73 passes on the 18-yard line and then pass back to Jorginho, or even better, Kovacic, to shoot from 30 yards into row Z. So with all of that in mind, I mean, do you think he might have learnt a trick here? Because Werner, I mean, I'd be very interested to hear what JK says in a minute, but Werner looked much more like the player that we expect from him, more comfortable in that kind of position, playing that kind of way, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I think I tweeted, in a parallel universe far, far away, he scored four goals.
Yeah.
I thought he had a couple of decent chances before he did put the ball in the net, and it was VAR'd offside. But yeah, I mean, he's got that pace. He's got the vision. And I think Chelsea are now starting to play to his strength. They can kind of see where he can get in behind defences, whereas initially it was six of one and a half dozen of the other, and try him in the middle, try him on the wing. And I just think you keep thinking every time we play, this is going to be the game where he gets a hat-trick. This is it. This is going to be the game. And he just needs that little bit of luck, I think, that all strikers do. Even like that, the VAR thing, it's just unfortunate. So I think we've got a good player there. So it's just a question of sticking with him and giving him the support and the ammunition to do what he can do.
Mm. Yeah, I would agree with that. Adam's got his hand raised, which gives me an excuse to talk to him rather than get JK to tell us what he thinks of Werner. But go on, Adam.
What I would say is I thought the way Liverpool set up was ludicrously naive. And, you know, Jurgen Klopp is a brilliant coach. I'm not going to try and argue that. But the fact that they played such a high line and that Timo Werner is so quick, it was a game that completely suited him. And I don't think Chelsea are going to come up against teams who do that often, just because, as we saw, it gives you problems. Why would you play against Chelsea like that when it does benefit Werner? Even Thomas Tuchel has said that playing against deeper defensive blocks doesn't suit Timo Werner. So it was very curious that Liverpool, I know Liverpool are the Premier League champions and they want to, you know, put their style on the opposition. But it made little sense to me why they did that. And that's the only problem I think we're going to have with Timo Werner, is that most opposition defences are not going to play that high line and they're not going to give him that much space to exploit. And Chelsea are still going to have to find a way to get the best of Timo Werner when defences do sit really deep and look to frustrate Chelsea, which, if the more they keep winning, I think the more that likely that's going to happen.
I think they won't play him. He won't play him, Tuchel, if that's the case. He'll just not have him in that game. I think he seems to be like that to me. It's horses for courses. And I felt that, in fact, that was absolutely perfect for Werner last night. And yeah, and you appreciate that he's very good at snapshots, and that's what he did for Leipzig, wasn't it? It was he got into penalty. Wherever he is, he'd beat the player and he'd shoot on sight. And he almost scored that brilliant piece of control he did at the very beginning of the game when he controlled it to the right and belted it. And I wish he'd scored then, because it would have been a fabulous goal. And that's the kind of goal that
that's what we paid our money for, JK. That's what we paid the money for, son.
That's exactly what we paid the £50 million for. No, but that's what we expected. Exactly that kind of move we expected. And he did a couple of other things. And Mount put him through and he hit Alisson in the legs. And in fact, Mount's pass was just a little bit too off the pace to the left, to be fair to him. But he's still, that was a perfect environment for him. And he did get a goal, let's be fair. And it was, you know, we were back into the madness of VAR again.
With
his fingernail being on.
I mean, let's talk about this. I mean, I mean, as you can tell, I mean, again, the most entertaining thing for much of the match last night was, in fact, the Chelsea Fancast WhatsApp group, which has got winner, chicken dinner written all over it, mate, I tell you. But I was a tad miserable last night. I was a bit cynical and cantankerous.
You went on about it being about the goal of being offside when the game had been going on for 5 minutes.
I know. Well, I have a theory, which I've kind of alluded to, although when in public print I had to be a little bit more careful. But my CFC UK article entitled Rage Against the Machines it picks up on Tony's theme. But the fact that, you know, that football and, in fact, modern life in general is being ruined by machines and people who have more of an affinity, shall we say, with digits and machines than those of us of a more passionate and romantic persuasion who believe that humanity is the solution to everything. I shall leave it at that. But, I mean, VAR, absolutely, Marco, is emblematic of that, I think, isn't it? You know, apart from the fact that they don't seem to know the bloody laws of the game either, how on earth your finger... You can't score with your finger, so why is that offside? It's absolute insanity, mate.
Well, the sad thing is you go into a game, as soon as there's a goal, you sort of think, hang on a minute, VAR.
Yeah.
And then there are other decisions where... You know, something happens and play gets called back. In fact, the United game the other week was it a penalty? You know, it's just really frustrating. And I think, you know, the whole idea behind it was VAR was going to remove ambiguity, but instead, it's made it worse. Because
isn't that down to, with the clientele, the personnel involved with making the decisions? Though I think this is one of the problems. You've still got these superannuated idiots who are all part of the same club making these decisions, you know. So,
that's times, you know, you've got the VAR official and his assist or her his assistant, and then the referee and his assistants.
Yeah, they pay no attention to the linesman ever now. It's ball in and out of play and offside. That's all the linesmen do now. You know, it's got to that pretty pass. I mean, when I ran the line, when I was reffing, and occasionally I ran the line, we were actually told to consider the torso as being, because it was supposed to be giving the attack the advantage, not the defence. And in this instance, yeah. Now we're it's making the defence have the advantage. And so you didn't actually choose, the arms weren't involved for offsides if you were giving as a linesman. And yet now we're in this bizarre situation where they're checking on whether or not the impetus of the forward, it was obviously going forwards and the defender is going back, it's against the forward who, you know, and you know, despite my looking as if I'm very critical of Werner because I want us to have great players in these positions you pay this amount of money for. But ultimately his I've lost my thread completely.
Well,
now,
don't worry, because I'm going to pick it up because I agree with you. And we all agree. I mean, I don't know any right thinking football fan unless they're wildly on the spectrum who thinks VAR is a good idea. And that's the point for me. And I said this in our Discord group today. I said, it's got to be scrapped. You know, football is a game played by humans for humans. Humans are fallible. That's what makes us human. And we need to effing well learn to live without perfection. This idea of giving an offside because you're a millimetre offside is an anathema to the human spirit of football. Period.
The cynic in me says that the TV companies who we pander to love it.
Oh, yeah. Because they're involved.
Well, I mean, it just creates more
drama,
mileage for controversy, doesn't it?
Yeah, mate. I mean, when I used to make documentaries, that's what I was always told. I need tension, drama, jeopardy, even when there isn't any. Anyway, let's wrap this up because we've got our Oppo view waiting in the wings, as it were. But Adam, bottom line is that was a fabulous. I mean, that's the other thing that we should say because I mean, a lot of us have been a little bit whiny about the fact that it has been a bit tepid, a bit dull. You know, we're not creating a lot, and if we are creating, we're not finishing it off. You know, he's basically filling the side with defensive players. But actually, do you know what? Over and above the individual performances, which I thought, apart from Ziyech, were really, really good last night, I thought we played really, really well. I thought the passing and the moving, some of the moves they put together and the speed with which they did it from back to front was absolutely fantastic. And fair play to all of them and Tommy Tuchel, mate.
Yes, no, I agree. I thought there was five or six sequences when they were playing up from the back where things looked a little hairy at one point. But
yeah, I shat myself quite a few times last night. I have to be honest.
But, you know, some clever movement from those in front of them. And I think this is what we were saying. I think it was after Sheffield United where I was on when we were talking about the Chelsea being able to play out through a press if they know where they're all meant to be at the right point and they're all doing the right things. And I thought we saw a lot of that last night. Credit to Jorginho. I thought he maybe had his best game in the Chelsea shirt.
He did all right. He did all right. Fair play.
And as you said, there weren't many. There was, well, you can argue, you know, Hakim Ziyech is struggling a little bit at the moment. I don't think he is.
You were saying you heard Tuchel telling him to get back, didn't you? Shouting.
Yeah, there was an exchange in the first half.
Well, back to Holland.
Not that extreme. Okay. I think he was telling him to press, and Hakim Ziyech turned around. There was a little bit of a disagreement or dialogue. I was right at the top of the stand, so I'm not going to pretend I know exactly what was said. But yes, there was a little bit of an exchange between the two. He isn't yet managing to step up to the level that a lot of other players have under Tuchel. But hopefully that will come because his quality, I don't think, is in doubt. Like, we have seen flashes of what he can do in a Chelsea shirt. But I guess the other reality for that is, you know, Christian Pulisic isn't playing brilliantly. Kai Havertz is coming back off an injury. So the other sort of contenders for that position that Ziyech has at the moment aren't doing brilliantly either, unless you push Callum, I guess.
I would do that, Adam. Absolutely. Yeah, listen, we've got to go to a break because we've got Gavin waiting in the wings. But before I go, got any more scoops for us, Adam? I have to say that you delivered and then some with that superb piece you did on Josh McEachran. And we were very, very well behaved, particularly me, because you did actually reveal to me after the show on WhatsApp, and I was very good and I said nothing. But it was a cracking piece. You got any more biggies coming up this week?
We actually have something going up tomorrow because on Monday it will be a year to the day since Stamford Bridge was last full for the Everton game. So, yeah, I'm doing a piece on that. So I spoke to JK earlier to get his thoughts, Nick, because he was there. I've spoken to a couple of other people. I've got a couple of nice lines from Tuchel about coaching without fans, seeing as he's taken over. So, yeah, that will be going live tomorrow. So that'll be a nice big piece looking back at that game and what's happened since, and hopefully what will happen in the future where everyone can get back and have some normality there.
Marvellous. I'm looking forward to that. I was in Glasgow at a wedding for the Everton game, pissed on Ochentoshan and other varietal whiskies, I'm delighted to say, but I'm a bit upset I missed that because it was a cracking game. As well as your excellent piece, there'll be a really rubbish piece from me going up tomorrow afternoon all about Mason Mount, so check that one out as well. Adam, always a delight to see you, my friend. Enjoy the weekend. Get some rest after your rigorous efforts yesterday covering Chelsea for Football London up at Anfield, and no doubt we'll see you soon.
Yes, take care, everyone. Speak to you soon.
Well done, Adam. Take care. Bye. Lovely stuff. There you go. Adam Newson, Chief Chelsea Correspondent for Football.London. Coming up after this very short break, we've got the return of a lovely chap. We warmed to this guy, didn't we, JK? It's the lovely Gavin Buckland, who is the official statistician for Everton Football Club. We'll be seeing you in a sec. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chich, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great! I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to Chidge and the Boys on the Chelsea Football Fancast. Total nutters and proper Chelsea.
Footballfancast.com.
Welcome back. This is the Chelsea Fancast. Of course, I am Stanford Chidge. It's the Chelsea Fancast Friday night preview show, a show that I love to do. And one of the reasons I love to do it is that I get to see Mr. Jonathan Kidd not once, but twice a week now.
Oh, Chidge, you're being very charming. Thank you.
I don't know why. It's probably the massive piece of cake I had before. It's going to give me a bit of a sugar rush.
Probably because we just beat Liverpool, Chidge.
Oh, there's always that, isn't there? How could I forget that? And also, I haven't seen this lovely man for far too long. It's brilliant to see Mr. Mark Worrell, the Ubermeister of the Chelsea Fancast, the Gate 17 publishing group and empire.
Indeed
it is. Anyway, good to see Mark. Always is. Now, as you all know, in the middle of the Friday show, we have what we like to call this.
The Opposition View.
And on the opposition view tonight, I'm delighted to say we've got the return of the lovely Gavin Buckland, who, of course, is Everton's official statistician and who we really enjoyed talking to before Chelsea lost 2-0 to Everton, and it all went downhill from there on in. But we liked him so much that we've forgiven him for that, and we welcomed him back tonight. Hello, Gavin. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Hope everybody's well. Lovely to speak to you all again.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're obviously still in a good mood, and that 2-0 win's done you well for the last two or three months, or whatever, however long it is.
I've been waiting patiently to come and see everybody on the show, obviously. You know, it was one of my first thoughts after the show, after we won, you know. Can't wait to get back on.
Well, you were very good. You didn't give me any jip on WhatsApp or anything, for which I'm very thankful. Now, listen, something that I would imagine are both feeling very happy about. In fact, I'll ask you, were you as happy as we were about last night?
Ah, now, that's a very, very good question. Perhaps not, because obviously, there's two sides to this. Given our sort of high, you know, we were fourth last night, weren't we, before you played. Technically, the best result for us last night was probably a draw. So when you were winning 1-0, all my sort of, you know, Everton support, all that type of stuff went out the wind, and thinking, oh, you know, it could change the habits of a lifetime here, you know, I want Liverpool to score in the last minute. and then I got back to reality and thought, no, Chelsea wins better. We can sort that out on Monday, you know.
Well, indeed.
So, watched Chelsea last night. I managed to watch both games last night, which is not bad, considering it's my wife's birthday. To be honest with you, I was only going to watch the Everton show, the Everton game. But when he got in touch with me, he said, oh, can you do the show for us tomorrow night? I'd say, well, I've got to watch Chelsea now, haven't I? I'm doing the Chelsea podcast tomorrow, you know? And it was totally enjoyable, wasn't it? If you were an Everton fan, if you were a Chelsea fan, seeing the result from Anfield, I think.
Well, you may not. I don't know if you realise this, but I mean, Marco would probably bear this out as well. But we have absolutely no love for the Red Scousers at all. But for the Blue Lot, we're not. You know, I don't think there's anywhere near the level of antipathy there is towards Liverpool from Chelsea supporters to Everton supporters. And maybe we are united in our common enmity of Liverpool Football Club. I don't know. I mean, Marco, I mean, I'm not that wide of the mark there with that one, am I?
No, probably not. I mean, it's a bit lively in the 80s between Chelsea.
Well, that's true. That is true.
All right.
but yeah, you know, it's kind of like the Manchester City, Manchester United thing, isn't it? Where sort of City are the lesser of all the evils. When it kind of comes to people winning trophies, if it can't be Chelsea, so yeah, I mean, I don't mind Everton. I mean, it's a shame the ground's going.
Well, unless you're stuck behind one of the pillars, mate. To be fair,
yeah, I mean, you know, that to me, that's one of the last proper football grounds in the top flight. So that would be a shame.
Yeah, definitely.
What's the aim with the building of the stadium? Is it to make it into a huge stadium, or just a kind of a neat one? I don't really know.
A bit of both, Jonathan. I mean, the capacity is set at 52,000, which is about right. Goodison's 40. So it's a question of getting a few extra people in. But, you know, it's a great stadium, Goodison, as you say, but it's antiquated, isn't it, in this day and age. So...
No, it's the atmosphere thing, you know, because every other stadium that they make is like going to Tottenham. Tottenham is a wonderful, brilliant, beautiful stadium, but you can't hear anybody singing at the other end. And so you're almost singing in your own little bubble. You're only watching in the supporters. And I just, it's a shame that the atmosphere that is at Goodison Park and the history that's at Goodison Park would ultimately go just for they're not profit. That's where they make the money to keep going. It's a known fact that... the bigger the more modern the stadium, the more the revenue comes in. So it's a shame that somehow that you can't incorporate that kind of atmosphere within a stadium. It's because Goodison is a great atmosphere. It's a great experience to go and watch a game at a ground that is basically so old. You know, it's that.
And the fact that until recently always used to beat us probably helps as well, rather than really, you know. Yeah, I know what you're saying. They're trying to, you know, ensure that they try and recreate that atmosphere, but you never can you? You just never can. You know, you might get it in some games, but it's the, you know, the architect who called us, and the fact the stands are right at the side of the pitch and are up, you know, like it's, you know, are really upright, and there's no scaling back of them. You know, the crowd's literally on top of the pitch, and you do get that, your great atmosphere as a consequence. But as you say, it's a necessity, isn't it? I mean, we've got to move on. The ground's not really fit for purpose.
Yeah.
It's a shame, though. It's a shame. Yeah. Definitely a shame. Because, I mean, Marco's bang on. It's a great place to go and watch football. And you can't beat those kind of grounds for that atmosphere. Now,
the away view, Chid, from actually the upstairs one is a great view.
That's true. That is true.
But you're slightly below ground level. Yeah. I could never quite see properly if I was in the front row.
You get bloody wet if you're in the lower tier.
Indeed.
Not necessarily from the rain, I have to say. Enough. Let's talk about Stamford Bridge. Let's talk about Stamford Bridge, which, contrary to popular belief from our northern friends, is not falling down. But I have to say, Gavin, now you'll appreciate this as a statistician. I did a bit of homework today, and I always do, you know, a quick look at head-to-heads recently.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe this when I found this out, but we have not lost to you lot at Stamford Bridge since 1994, right? That was so long ago, and we were so rubbish that Nigel Spackman was still playing for us, right? You know, you won 1-0 with a Paul Ride out goal. That was the last time. In fact, it's the only time you've beaten us in the Premier League era at Stamford Bridge. I had no idea that you had such an abysmal record at Stamford Bridge.
I had an idea which I had second thoughts of coming on the show because I thought you couldn't mention it, you know. But we've always had a bad. If you go back before, you know, 1992, even in the 60s when we had a good team, you had a good team. Never beat you at Stamford Bridge then. Yeah. We did a couple of times in the 70s, and I've actually, you know, one of that rare species has actually seen an Everton win at Stamford Bridge. You know, I am that old. It's just one of the grounds where. Never, you know, even in the mid-80s when we got Chelsea, always used to turn us over, you know.
And you were very, very good then. You had a great season.
We were talking about the Gordon Davis hat-trick last time it was on, wasn't I, in the mid-80s. Yeah, it was a struggle. We struggled with all London clubs, honestly, Arsenal, Tottenham, terrible records as well. But Chelsea's the worst. If you have a look at the results as well, there's an unhealthy amount of 4-0s and 5-0s.
Yeah.
Like last year was 4-0, wasn't it?
Arguably one of our best performances of the season. We were saying earlier on, actually, because we had Adam Newson on, who's a journalist mate of ours from Football.London, and he's doing a piece on that match this weekend, as it's a year since we actually had fans in the stadium. That was the weekend I chose to go to a wedding in Glasgow, so I didn't actually see Chelsea's best performance of the season, or in fact their last match when they had fans in, but never mind. Things have changed an awful lot. Obviously, you know, since then we've got a new manager. I would say that you're a lot more settled now with Carlo in charge. Our form recently, you know, has clearly been very good. You know, we're unbeaten since Tommy Tuchel took the reins. I mean, last night we played really, really well against Liverpool, it has to be said. But it's been a bit stodgy, you know. We're not scoring many goals. Whereas you guys, I mean... You know, you've won your last three, but they've been also fairly, you know, 1-0 to West Brom away, 1-0 at home to Southampton, both sides in pretty poor form. 2-0 away to Liverpool, another very poor side in very poor form, obviously. But, I mean, before that, you had a couple of defeats. I mean, understandably at home to Man City. Surprisingly, at home to Fulham. Although Fulham, I think, are giving quite a few people a bloody nose who don't expect it at the moment. How are you? Where are you with your form at the moment?
That's a very, very good question. I think, to be honest with you, I think in terms of our records, if you have a look at our season's record there, kids, we play better against the better teams. I think Carlo is quite happy against the bigger teams to just set up quite defensively and hit teams on the break, especially, you know, away from home. We've won at like Leicester, Wolves, Spurs, Liverpool, got a draw at Man United, you know, grounds that we traditionally, you know, suffer. So he's quite comfortable setting up, you know, as a counter-attacking team. Where he's struggled and where we have struggled is when we played, dare I say, some of the lesser lights in the Premier League, where we've got to have the initiative and go for it. I think that's where we've struggled. And that's reflected in our home form. Newcastle have done the double over us.
Really?
We've lost. You know, Fulham at home, Leeds at home, West Ham at home. Games that we should be expecting to win, but we've struggled to enforce our game on the opposition who's just sat deep. And that's been, ironically, that's been the problem this year. It's also the reverse of the usual problem for us. I mean, within that is. It is this thing as well, as it is easier playing away from home, isn't it, than traditional because of the crowd thing. I think that comes as a, but we haven't lost last 9 Premier League games away from home, you know, going into Monday.
Kevin, why is Richarlison scoring so many at the moment? He scored for 3 in a row, hasn't he? 4 in a row?
Yeah, 4 in the Premier League, and he's 4 Premier League games on the run.
Is getting further? Is he hitting the crosses more? Has he been given more opportunities to score? Because it's just seemed to be a good run.
Yeah. It's more opportunities, Jonathan. What Carlo set up at the start of the season, 4-3-3, with Calvert-Lewin playing central striker and Richarlison left, and you know, James or Iwobi on the other side. And Richarlison, I don't know whether you look at it when it, you know, was it? He never looks a happy bunny on the pitch.
I love players like that. To be honest, Kevin, yeah. I love grumpy players. I love them.
I will remember what, at the end of the last game, he threw himself at somebody. And got a foul through actually throwing himself and then falling over, holding his head. So I've always seemed to be kind of that he's so unhappy most of the time. He'd be given the foul by the ref regardless. Just take pity on him because
he's just you know what mood he's in. And I think what Carlo's done is in the last 4 or 5 games, he's been playing sort of like a 4-4-2 where he's been playing centrally with Calvert-Lewin. So consequently, he's been seeing more of the ball in the dangerous areas, and he's been getting more opportunities. And he's our best player, Richarlison. I know sometimes he can, you know, throw a wobbler and a moody, but he is our best player. You know, he could play for an elite club, Calvert-Lewin, you know. Calvert-Lewin could probably be fair, Richarlison. But in doing that, you see, Calvert-Lewin likes 4-3-3 because if you've seen his goals this year, tend to be out wide, either crosses in to score with his header or get to the byline and he taps in the 6-yard box.
He's very good in the six-yard box.
4-4-2, you don't really get that opportunity. And I think that system favours Richarlison more than Calvert-Lewin. So he's now seeing the best of Richarlison, and Calvert-Lewin's form is dipped. So it'd be interesting to see how he sets up. I mean, when we played you in March, we played 4-3-3. I think we played 4-4-2 to your 4-3-3. And your midfield outnumbered us, you know, passed us and took advantage of the extra man. So it'd be interesting to see how you've been setting up in this like 3-4-2-1 system.
I don't see him changing from that. I mean, everybody says, he adapts and he plays all these different systems, but he's not changed it once. And I really don't see him changing it now. And I think, you know, the one thing that we have found clearly is that the 3-4-2-1 absolutely has solidified us defensively. We look far more solid now. And I can't see him giving that up in a hurry. I mean, they changed tactics last night because they knew Liverpool would press very, very high and leave gaps in behind. And it was very unusual for us to see them, to see Chelsea, you know, play in a way that really suits Werner.
Because Mount's goal was Kante's long chip, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That Mount just brought inside.
And Werner's goal was another long chip. Yeah. Oh, it got ruled out for VAR, didn't it? I forgot. But there you go.
Yeah, where it was coming from there is by the Carlo changes on Monday to come to your system, you know. You might just keep 4 across the middle to come to your 4, you know. But it'd be interesting to see. We're not conceding many. I did another podcast before and I got asked for my prediction, which I'll give you later on.
It could be
tight.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, I wonder if a lot of, you know, good tactical managers have done this, and even some not very good ones like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but a lot of managers have kind of rumbled the fact that our attacks mainly come through the wing back, so we try to get wide and put balls in. Which is a pretty stupid strategy, frankly, Gavin, if we're playing Werner up front as a number 9. Not so bad if you've got Tammy Abraham or Giroud, But yeah, actually, nevertheless, what they've done is that they've tried to match up and they've put their wing-backs on our wing-backs, which stops them getting forward and has been quite effective. And that means that we just try and pass through people, which is very easy to defend against. So I think it'll be interesting to see what Carlo does about that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, sense of the defence, we've been quite good. You know, Ben Godfrey's been a superb sign, and so we are solid through the defence. I don't think you'll get the space that you got, obviously, last night. Where you looked as though you could break through Liverpool at will at one stage in the first half, wouldn't you? I think two experienced tactical minds to play on Monday, and it'd be fascinating to see. I mean, the one advantage you've got is, I mean, looking at your bench last night, it's a really strong bench, that, isn't it? You know, as a neutral. I mean, we didn't have nine at Sheffield. We only had eight on the bench, and two of them were goalkeepers. You know, and I was looking at your bench last night, and our bench, and you look like a full team.
Yeah.
On your bench. Like I said, I mean, I'd look like an under-23 team with two goalkeepers. Wow. So it'll be, that's where you've got the advantage, but it's a tough game for us, Chidge, on Monday. I said before that after playing Man City, you're not playing Man City, I think Chelsea away is probably the toughest game you can get in the Premier League at the moment.
Wow, that's praise indeed, Marco.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm really heartily encouraged by that, Marco. What do you think of that?
What's that, mate?
Gavin says that apart from Man City, we're probably the hardest team to play against at the moment.
Well, I mean, definitely since Tuchel's come on board, you know, we're just tight at the back now, aren't we? I still get nervous when Mendy tries to play football.
I get nervous when any of the back lot try to play football, mate, but that's just me, I think.
But yeah, I mean, it's working at the moment, and it's just a question of, I mean, I think the team that played against us the best, but they didn't have the quality in depth, was Barnsley in the first half of the FA Cup. Because <so true. laughs> they had it completely worked out, and
very true.
They were causing us all kinds of problems. If they'd have had a bit of quality in their side up front, they'd have taken their chances and created a bit of an upset. So it can be done, and there's no room for complacency. And the challenge for Tuchel is when somebody does, a quality side does work it out, how he sets up to combat that.
How he responds, I couldn't agree more. Bottom line is, Gavin, in the words of people like Sky, who, let's face it, we don't try and repeat too often, but this is a six-pointer, isn't it? As you were kind of alluding to early on, you know, because if you win, you go above us. If we win, we're putting a bit of clear blue water between you and the chasing pack for top four. In fact, we'll get quite close to Leicester, I think, if they don't win. So it's a very, very big match. There's a lot at stake, I think, for this, isn't there?
Yeah, that's why. See, 6 o'clock on Monday doesn't seem to be the right time, does it, to have one of the matches of the weekend, isn't it, really? In terms of the top four race and further ambitions. So, yeah, I think it's a do-not-lose match.
A dare-not-lose match.
I think it's a... I'm just wondering if you get, I mean, you're at home, slightly different for you, isn't it? I think different vibe. If you said to Carlo now, you take a point on Monday, he'd say yeah.
He'd raise his left eyebrow and say,
yes. And I think as much as one for us getting up points, it's stopping you getting three. And I think that's just as important. And, you know, there's an advantage, I mean, the Manchester derby is before our game, isn't it? It'd be interesting to see if City turn United over. All of a sudden, there's a big opportunity there for both teams, especially yourself. I mean, we have got a game in hand as well, Evan.
Yes.
Which is Villa, I think. It's a massive game in terms of the top four. And I think it's a do-not-lose game. Okay. And I think that might be reflected in our tactics in particular.
You're going to go for a draw then, James? I can smell it. You're going to go for a draw, aren't you?
Me? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go, you know what? Can I be really boring and say it's going to be a ghastly, tea-spoiling, you know, Monday night spoiling, goalless draw between two... The thing about the Chelsea Watson last night, and it was, what, you can see Tuchel's coaching, can't you, a mile off.
Yes.
You know, the passing. You see, a really, really well coached team.
Yeah.
And I think Carlo is experienced. I just got a funny feeling they cancel each other out and it'll be 0-0. But if it's a 3-3 draw, never invite me back on the show again. Obviously.
Well, I mean, I've seen a 3-3 with you lot. JT's last minute goal, which is one of the best feelings I've had at Stamford Bridge ever, I think. But Gavin, on, mate. Sorry, go on, Gavin.
No, I was going to say that wouldn't count. That would be I was mal offside, wasn't it? It was.
If we'd have had VAR, it would have never been given offside.
It was offside. Yeah,
but Gavin, I think that's very astute. I mean, Carlo, we love Carlo still. I mean, I think I speak for the others, but I know that they'd agree. We've got a lot of love for Carlo, and he's a very astute, proper Italian manager. And you're right. You know, if this is as important as we're all saying it is, you know, a draw is going to suit you with a game in hand, and he's smart and savvy enough to try and go out and get that, I think. And I think a draw is not a bad prediction. We will be giving ours later, so you'll have to listen back for that.
But that's unfair. That.
I know. I mean, how else do I get people to listen to the show, for God's sake?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I just say a second? I was present when we beat you 5-1 at the Bridge in 1965. I just thought I'd...
Ah, right. Well, yeah, sorry, John. You know, it reminds me, you know, Ed Stewart, the DJ? Remember Ed Stewart?
Yeah.
Well, he was a massive Everton fan, wasn't he? And he I meant to say this last time, John, he became an Everton fan because his dad took him to Stamford Bridge in 1949 and Chelsea beat Everton 6-0 and he felt sorry for Everton. So he carried on some fun and then, like, yeah, brilliant.
I like that a lot. That's brilliant. Gavin, apart from all of that, it's been brilliant talking to you again. It really is lovely of you to come and give us your time. Very generous of you. I can't wish you luck for Sunday, but I do wish you luck for the rest of the season. And I mean, not least because, as I said, we've got a lot of love for Carlo. And I like to see him do well, as long as it's not at our expense. So enjoy the game.
I attempted to get a Carlo song going in the 4-0. I stood up in each stand. Carlo.
No.
Any attention to me at all?
No, that's understandable.
I'm going to claim the moral high ground. I'm going to wish you all luck for Monday night. Okay.
God, well, that's very, very lovely of you. That is genuinely very lovely. I certainly wish you lot luck for the rest of the season, as I said.
Yeah.
And let's both delight in the demise of Liverpool, a thing that will unify both of us quite happily.
Yeah, but I was thinking of that. What's that joke Stalin phrase? Your enemy's your greatest friend.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Yeah. That's right. Well, there you go. James, you enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the match on Monday. Really lovely to see you again. Thank you so much for taking part. And you never know, we'll see you next season when we meet again. Are you still in the cup, by the way? Are you still in the cup?
Oh, yeah, we're still in the cup. We've got City at home.
Stranger things have happened. You never know. We may see you yet. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
It'd be nice for the final again, wouldn't it?
That would be something. Apart from the fact that none of us can be there, which is a rather annoying thing, but there you go.
We can do the show, though, again, can't we?
We certainly can. Gavin, brilliant to see you, my friend. Lovely stuff. You take care, and we'll hopefully see you very soon.
Yeah, take care, everyone.
Well done, Gavin.
Stay safe. Bye-bye. Bye.
See ya.
Great stuff there, you guys. Gavin Buckland, who is Everton's official statistician and actually a very lovely chap. We really like having Gavin on the show, don't we, JK?
Brilliant. Quite brilliant.
Proper football fan. Proper football fan. Very, very generous of him to wish us luck for Monday. That's above and beyond the call of duty in my book, so fair play to him. Anyway, right, we're going to... You are?
I don't think he meant it.
You're so disingenuous, you really are. Listen, on that point, a very quick plug. As you probably know, I'm doing together with many, 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 many lovely people, but doing a big Stamford Bridge sleep out, a virtual one this time, because we can't go to Stamford Bridge and do it, but it'll be the international weekend, March the 27th, I believe. And I shall be sleeping on my shed floor, my garage floor, fortified beforehand by a fire pit, a big Monte Cristo cigar and a glass or five of whiskey. But nevertheless, I indulge you to sponsor me, indulge me, in fact, actually indulge Stoll, because that's who we're really raising the money for, who are the veterans who live next door to us, many of whom have suffered from homelessness. So if you can see your way clear to sponsoring me, I would be very, 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 very grateful, and I will love you all very much. Very easy to do. Just go to my Twitter handle, @StanfordChidge, and my pinned tweet has all the details for the Virgin money-giving fund. So there you go. Anyway, we will be back in a minute to talk about our preview of the Chelsea-Everton match.
Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to the Chelsea Football Fancast. Up the Chelsea!
Footballfancast.com.
Welcome back. This is Stamford Chidge. This, of course, is the Chelsea Fancast Friday night preview show with me and Jonathan Kidd.
Hello.
And the wonderful Mr. Marco Worrell.
Buonasera.
Whose stylophone has sadly run out of juice.
Yeah.
I left
it switched on the last time I was on this program, which was quite some time.
I know. There'll be people yet to be discovered in the Amazon rainforest who are heartbroken not to be able to hear your stylophone tonight.
Exactly.
But never mind. They'll just have to settle for your innate intelligence of all things Chelsea, Mark. Picking up really from what we were talking about with Gavin, he's right, actually. It's a big match on Monday, isn't it? There's a lot at stake for this old top four. Is it another must win for Tommy T's blue and white army?
Well, I think they're all must wins, really. Mm. You know, because teams seem there's a lot of apart from Chelsea and Manchester City at the moment. You know, so results have kind of favoured Chelsea of late. So given the fact that Everton are also vying for a top four berth, you know, definitely this one has to be a must win. But I kind of half hope that we're going to steamroller them in the way that we did last season, which that was the last time I was at the Bridge, and it was also my daughter Misty's first game at the Bridge. And that was an outstanding performance. Probably the best that we saw under Frank Lampard.
Of course, William Pedro scored, didn't they?
I think Carlo will keep it a lot tighter on Monday, and given the fact that we can't really score many more than we struggle to score more than one goal in a game, he could be right with his prediction.
Mm. I think in a sense, JK, the match against Liverpool was a bit of an outlier. And again, funnily enough, I think Gavin nailed that, because Liverpool in their arrogance decided not to change the way that they play at all to face Chelsea. And as I said, a blind man could have figured out that they were going to do a high press and we could get in behind them. And, you know, fair play to Tuchel, he did that. Carlo's not going to be that stupid. He's probably, Gavin's right. I think he is probably going to come for a canny draw.
I've seen them stifle us before, haven't they?
Yeah.
Under Carlo, and just completely play almost contrarily to the way that we've been watching them playing against other teams. He's a tactician, as we know, and I think he'll play large numbers of players at the back and do boot the ball down the pitch and get Richarlison to run out of it.
And Calvert-Lewin, because he's
and
quick.
Yeah, and Richarlison has that. He's got that nasty aspect to him as a striker that that Diego Costa always had. There's that kind of dark arts attitude towards things which he's got. And I think they'll both be pelting down the pitch.
The thing that British call cheating, I think, Jonathan.
That's the word. I didn't
want to
say.
That's what we like to call it.
Dark art. But having said that, though, I think if he was playing, we were associated with him for a period. We thought we might be buying
it. It's okay if it's on our side.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is equally British, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Because hypocriticism is our middle name.
Yeah, absolutely. So, no, but I think they'll attempt to stifle him. He's gotten Sigurdsson is very good at that kind of thing. He's a very canny player. And I think they'll try and get us on the break. But Tuchel is absolutely aware of how they'll play, because this is one of the things he does. He's a very astute an analyst of these kind of things. So he'll set up accordingly. I think he won't get away from the fact that we're terrific defensively now. It's just a question of what setup he plays, whether Odoi comes in, and or whether he. I'm not quite convinced that Ziyech will get another another go at the moment just because he was very poor.
Well, so. That I think is a very good question, and it's the one thing we really didn't get. I mean, people who don't know this, I put together this. I mean, for the boys, thankfully, the one page running order is manageable. The other eight pages of notes, perhaps less so. But one of the, I quite often put a few incendiary phrases into the running order to get it going, and one of them was time to bench Ziyech, Marco. I have to say I don't have a lot of time for him, and I think what Adam was saying earlier about the fact that Tommy T was giving him grief for not pressing back, I can't see Tommy Tuchel putting up with that for very much longer. And whilst you were saying earlier on too, I think that, you know, we are in a bit of a pickle at the moment because all of our creative attacking midfielders stroke attackers, as in Pulisic, Ziyech, Havertz, Hudson-Odoi, none at Werner, you could argue as well, none of them seem to be able to nail down a place. There's not many more options. So maybe he just has to shuffle that pack until he gets the, you know, until it clicks. And I for one, would not be averse to seeing Hudson-Odoi play in one of those roles and have James pushed up to wing back where he can play very, very well as he did the other night. Ziyech, I just don't, I mean, maybe, you know, I don't think Tuchel can afford to try and play him into form. There's not enough games left. It's too late for that. If you can't do it now, sit it out while somebody else can have a go would be my management strategy on that.
Yeah, Chelsea look lopsided when he's in the team.
And down to 10 men.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's probably a bit harsh. But, yeah, you know, I think fair play, credit to Tuchel because he's tried him. He's tried a few players and, you know, some have obliged him more than others in terms of their form. Hudson-Odoi being one initially. I agree. You know, it grieves me when I see Hudson-Odoi and Reece interchange. And I understand why it's done, but I think Hudson-Odoi's got the capability to be a bit more versatile in terms of where his position. I'm just not
sure.
He needs
to shoot more, doesn't he, Mark? He just needs to shoot.
I don't know, the Ziyech thing. I mean, he was a strange signing. And, you know, it kind of like, I don't know, it sort of all bubbled out of that Chelsea-Ajax game.
He played wonderfully against us, didn't he? But, you know,
well,
Robert Fleck played wonderfully against us.
Yeah, exactly that. You know, I'm sure there's a good player there, but he needs to get his game together and we can't afford any passengers. So, you know, I mean, clearly Tuchel's going to have a shakedown of the squad in the summer. But I don't, you know, we've got 10 games left, 10, 11 games left in the Premier League, plus the FA Cup and the Champions League. And I just don't think he can afford to play players who, you know, haven't got the appetite for the game or can't play to, you know, the tactical setup that's being asked of them. So there's no reason to play him just because he's Hakim Ziyech and he costs, you know, a few bob from Ajax. So I think he might get another chance, but that'll be it.
I mean, the other thing, I mean, the related point to that, which we've alluded to, and as did JK as well, Marco, is that, you know, I do believe that Hudson-Odoi can play in one of those two positions behind the striker. He's played it at youth level and quite possibly for England as well. And the other reason why I would like to see him tried there, I mean, he has looked better than the other players at the moment, as in Pulisic, who doesn't look in form, Ziyech, who doesn't look in form, Havertz, who doesn't look in form. But the other thing is, I don't like him playing on the wing back because I think it constrains him. And he keeps getting taken off because he can't handle the defensive responsibilities. And I just think it's a waste of what is one of our goal threats and a guy who can just skin a defence. Why waste him as a wing back? Why do it? Have him more, you know, further forward, because we know he can cut inside. You know, if you played him on the left of the two, he'll cut inside and shoot on his right. He's got a great shot on him. Try him there. He can't be any worse than Pulisic, Hakim Ziyech, or Havertz, JK.
Well, I've gone on about this before, haven't I, that he could be Robin-like if he just came in from the left and curled the shots across, which he can do. I think he just needs to improve his shooting a bit. It's the shooting for me which is the problem. But I would play him instead of Werner if he's going to play that setup. I don't know whether Pulisic plays on the right, because at the moment Pulisic is looking very off the pace. Whether he's looking slightly intimidated by playing for his previous boss, who's just playing him in the same position, using him as a sub, when as before he had a different role to play under Frank. But I think Odoi is potentially in a team that isn't scoring goals, if he can just get him to go for goal. But he does have this terrible desire, which they all do, to just do the final pass and lay it off, other than Mount, who has a
well,
good dip.
There was a brilliant article in the BBC, in your BBC, that Tony tweeted out earlier, which explained the depth to which tactical and data analysis has entered football. And they had a really interesting bit on expected goals. And they said that since the expected goals analysis came in, shots from distance have gone down dramatically in the Premier League. In other words, what they're finding out is that data analysis is proving that, you know, it's lucky when you bang one in from 30 yards. We might all love it as fans, but it you know, 8 times out of 10, it ain't going to work. So that's perhaps why they're now being encouraged to not shoot from distance. Instead, take the extra pass and shoot from closer.
But surely distance...
I think that's a load of old arse gravy, frankly, but that's what they're doing.
Distance is 35 yards. Surely at the edge of the penalty area, that we're still not shooting from there.
I agree, but I think that even it's even affecting that is the inference that I got from
that
article.
Is that a coaching thing? You think Tuchel's encouraging them?
I think all teams are, not just Chelsea. I think you know it's a blight on the modern game, a blight on modern society. JK,
you're ignoring
the
fact you get deflections, don't you? There's a deflection, or you put.
I know that. You
know that. I know that.
We've only been watching football.
Marco knows that. No, you know that as well, Marco, don't you?
Yeah, we've only been watching football. What did I say in the CFC? UK had a combined watching Chelsea Football Club for over 500 years. No wonder we should be put down, let alone given a medal. Anyway, well, just to move this on a bit, I mean, it's a really interesting point, Marco. Going back to what we were saying, I mean, it kind of tacks into that as well. You know, Everton are going to be tough to beat, I think, and Carlo's going to be tactically really, really, really well set up. It's not going to work firing balls over the top to Werner because, you know, they ain't going to get the space. They might well block off the wing backs. So how are we going to score some goals against this Everton side?
Set pieces.
Mm.
Pickford's. I don't know. Pickford's. He has some good games, but I think he's a bit suspect on set pieces. So I think we've got some opportunities there, mind you. The same goes for Everton. So,
I think Rudiger might score. I think you're right there. I think Rudiger was mad last night. I mean, he was back to his most irritating.
He fouled
Mane nearly every single time he went for the ball with him. And it was near, I don't know how the referee, because that was why Klopp was objecting so much, because poor old Mane was like a kid every time he got there. He was being crushed. He just thought, oh, bloody hell. And that dreadful moment at the end where he pushed him and then Kovacic drilled the ball against his head, which I thought, surely there'll be a retrospective here, but nothing seemed to happen. But no, I think Rudiger might score, because when he's really on form, is really up for corners. Otherwise, if he's not on, he's not up for it. He fouls everybody all the time at the corner. So, I just think Rudiger seems to be back to his best, which is once again is something that's down to Tuchel somehow just tuning into him. Well, speaks German to him, so it's what going on about this thing of improving players, making them the best in their positions. Well, Tuchel appears to be absolutely fantastic at that, other than up front at the moment.
I mean, I think to be fair to Rudiger, I mean, I thought, you know, he was pretty good. He wasn't, well, he got left cast aside really by Lampard, but I thought he was pretty good prior to that. So, you know, a Germany international, good player, you know, Christensen. They're all good players. I think it's a confidence thing. You know, players want to play, don't they? You know, I'm sure Rudiger was moaning. You know, he's getting a lot of bad press on Twitter, wasn't he, for various things. Having a dagger at Frank's back, perhaps. But I think ultimately, new manager comes in. You're playing. You're not playing. I mean, look at Zuma. You know, he was back, and now he's out in the cold again. So it's the Chilwell thing's quite interesting. At left wing back,
he was very good last night. Very good last night.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a good player. So you know, good players adapt, don't they? So
absolutely, they do. I think Alonso will be back actually, because Everton are a physical side, and he's picked. I mean, it's interesting that he's picked Chilwell against teams who weren't going to pose much of a physical threat. Certainly not. Not on set pieces, and I think
Alonso's got that lock in his locker, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's good. He's good at defensively at set pieces, and he's great at falling over in front of people to stop their runs. You know, it's his speciality, and of course his beautiful hair, and the fact that he's the only one that scored a decent goal for us in. Well, actually, no, Mount's goal last night was special, but that volley he scored against Burnley, I think it was, wasn't it? Was cracking.
Yeah.
Gotta love a bit of Marcus. All right, then. The time to nail our colours to the mast. I shall start with you, Mr. Worrell.
I'm going for 1-0. And if he plays, I'll go for a Marcus Alonso free kick.
Okay, I'm loving that. That's worth a fiver of anybody's money, I think. I shall be racing to my bookies right after the show. I like that. 1-0. 1-0 and a Marcus Alonso goal. JK?
I think we'll win 2-0.
Mm.
Because I think we'll maintain our integrity and not give a goal away, because we seem to be pretty exceptional at the moment at defending. And I think we'll, if Odoi plays, I think he'll score. And if Werner comes on, I think Werner will score. I think this is the time for Werner to score.
Timo time.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I see your 2-0 and I match it. I'm going to go for a Tommy 2-0.
Excellent.
Definitely. That's what I've gone for in the world-famous Chelsea Fancast Premier Predictions League, where I got a whopping great big 190 points last week. Sadly, there are plenty of other people who got about 250. But I'm in 17th and I'm gunning Marco Worrell down. Oh, yes, I'm coming for you, sunshine. Martin's doing the best of all of us, as always. He's rocketed right back up there. He got about 240-odd points. And I think Joe Mingolo is still leading the table, as he has done all season. He is invincible, this man. And he's also, actually, I've discovered one of the joys of getting more people on Patreon is that they're all joining our Discord group. And I'm beginning to... Because, you see, the funny thing is, Marco, we see them all in Mixlr, don't we, when we're doing the show, but we don't really get to really talk to them much other than by talking. Half of them are in the Discord group, so I'm actually getting to know them really, really well, and they're a really lively bunch, I have to say. But Joe Mingolo is a lovely, lovely gentleman. There's no two ways about it. And I tell you what, if he wins the whole thing outright, I can't think of a more deserving person to do so. So I hope everybody who's playing the Prem Predictions League has done their... selections like what I have. I've gone 2-0 Chelsea. I think we're in a good vein of form at the moment, and our record against Everton is just so good. I'm feeling good about this. I'm feeling confident, so I'm leaving it at that. One more bit of parish notices to give out. This is really quite exciting. We've launched it this week. We've got a new partner, brand partner, as they say in the trade. Who is a company called Football Prizes. And guess what they do? That's right. They basically flog memorabilia, but they call it cleverly Football Prizes because there's a reason for that. Because basically what you do is you bung them £5 or £4.95 for a ticket. It's like a raffle ticket. And then they do a draw every Wednesday, and they do it live on Facebook at 7:30. If your name gets drawn out, you win a bit of Chelsea merch. And the first one that we're doing this week, this will be for next Wednesday's draw, so I shall be reminding you mercilessly about this fact for the rest of the week, but this is great. This is a signed and framed John Terry Chelsea shirt. So it's got John Terry. It's actually really, you can't see it because obviously this is black and white as it's radio, but you've got the John Terry shirt with his autograph on it, and it's all framed very beautifully in a couple of pictures of JT. I think one's holding the Premier League trophy. The other, the other is a famous picture of him, you know, kind of tapping his badge and his heart, which is, I think it was his last game, wasn't it? And a little kind of inscription which validates it all. So there you go. So all you need to do, well, first of all, follow at @football_prizes for more information. Go to our Twitter page and you'll see our tweet. I'll retweet it a lot over the week. It's also on our Facebook fan page or whatever they call it. And then you basically enter the draw at footballprizes.co.uk/product/John-Terry. I think that's the entire, yeah, basically that'll get you there. But as I said, the link is on our Twitter, Chelsea Fan, at Chelsea Fancast Twitter page, and it's also on our Facebook fan page. So we'll be doing that every week. So there'll be a different bit of merch to win, memorabilia to win every week. There'll be signed boots. Bill has told me all of the great prizes they've got coming up, and there are signed boots. There's Pulisic signed boots. Don't tell anybody. But there's loads and loads of stuff like that. I mean, God, you know, there's enough to keep you happy for decades here. So I'm really chuffed to be partnering up with them because I love a bit of memorabilia. I was showing the boys before we went on air, wasn't I? They can validate this. What was I showing you before we went on air?
I don't know, Chief.
A little bit of a reminder.
Oh, yeah, the picture.
The Munich thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Big photograph of the lineup at Munich. I can see myself. I know. I was here somewhere. I'd have been about here. There's the goal. I'm there.
You wearing a hat?
Actually, there. That's the upper tier, isn't it? I don't know. No, that's the upper tier. I would be about there.
Are you wearing a hat, Chid?
I don't think I was. No, I wasn't wearing a hat. So there you go. That's a bit of memorabilia. That's my most treasured piece now. So there you go. So I commend you all to join in with that. I wish you all a fantastically brilliant weekend. Obviously, we're not on air on Monday. In fact, you know, JK and I will be back on Tuesday because the match is on a Monday for the usual Chelsea fancast. And obviously, we'll be looking back at the Everton match on the Monday, hopefully a big win. And we will be joined by the two Marks. Yes, indeed. Not once, but twice we've got Marco Worrell back. We've got Mark back with Mark Meehan. Those two will be great value, I'm sure. You looking forward to that, Marco?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, yeah. Be good to see you again.
Will the xylophone be working by then?
Ooh, I'll have to buy a see if we've got a PP3 battery.
Okay. We're keeping our fingers crossed for the PP3, mate.
PP3 battery.
There you go. So definitely Mark Meehan and Mark Worrell and me and JK back on Tuesday. Quite possibly the Stylophone with its new PP3 battery. We'll keep you posted over the weekend on those momentous events. But there we go. That's it for us. Marco, really lovely to see you, mate. Lovely to see you. Looking very well. Good to see. And as for you, you old reprobate, you.
Surely young reprobate.
Okay, young reprobate. You've been on cracking form this week on WhatsApp. You've been, and Twitter. You've been making me giggle a lot, which I like.
Good, thank you very much. Well, you were on fire today, though, Chidge. You were on fire today.
Yes, I have WhatsApp. To say that was good. Yeah, I showed. We've got an ad in CFC UK, which I shared with the Chelsea Fancast WhatsApp group, and it alludes to the fact that there are 12 of us on the show, and we all kind of contribute different things in a way, don't we? And Alex piped up very quickly, and one vagina, basically referring to the fact that she was a girl. And I very quickly said, surely there are 12 of those. Budum tush.
You're very, no, it was, well, I laughed at it at the time. I thought it was very clever. No, you missed the one out before I put.
Oh, you put, and of course, one and lovey.
I put, and one OTT lovey.
That's right.
You said nobody's ever described me as that before.
Well, that was Martin. Martin did that. Martin that was chuffed about that. Anyway, we're blathering on as we all do. It's time to go. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the match on Monday. And stay safe, obviously. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Until then, keep it blue, keep it... Oh, that reminds me. Breaking news from last night. It's official. Tim O'Werner is a listener to the Chelsea Fancast because he posted on Instagram a pic of him missing, I should hasten to add. But he said, up the Chels.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, wow.
Up the Chelsea set.
Oh, God, help.
So
oh,
clearly God. He's I've been got, listening.
I've got worried comedy face on.
Yeah. JK, he is coming for you. He is going to hunt you down.
Oh, no.
And he is going to kick you into the onion bag. Oh, Jawohl.
Well, I've said nice things about him this evening. But,
yeah, there you go. Okay. Well, on that note, thank you for listening. See you next week, especially for Timo Werner. Until then, keep it blue, keep it carefree, and keep it Chelsea. Up the Chelsea! It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.